are listening to Sincerely Madison E. Good morning, everyone. So those of you that listened to the last podcast episode, I'm sure that you noticed it seemed a little bit more spontaneous, a little bit less organized, more scattered, kind of not as planned. And it's because it wasn't. Candidly speaking, I was talking into the voice memo app on my phone, just kind of spitting off some things that I wanted to use to write an article later on that day, and then really got into it and decided it would be something that was worth sharing, something that was better suited to be expressed in through a medium that you can actually feel the energy and the emotion in. And so today, however, I do have things more specific to talk about. And so that's kind of what I wanted to just dive a little bit deeper into. So more recently, I've found that there are some very specific sources of stress that I have found myself experiencing, especially these last few years. And I am on the verge of turning 28 years old. You know, this is a precarious time for a lot of people, for most people. And your 20s are kind of a confusing time. Someone told me a long time ago that you do a ton of changing from 20 to 25 and even more from 25 to 30 and the most you'll ever do from 30 to 35. And I do believe that there is some truth to that, strictly going off of the 5 year spans that I've been able to experience thus far, the one from 20 to 25, now being pretty much smack dab in the middle of the 25 to 30 window. And it's funny because I find myself watching these stand-up comedians that are in similar age brackets and people that will just talk about the things they're struggling with in a comical way. And I think that that's a parallel that I really appreciate because you have to be able to laugh about it. There are so many sources of stress. So here's an example. So for the longest time when I was teaching, I was in a sales role before then. I thought grass was greener on the other side. I jumped ship for an opportunity to make $20,000 more a year just on my base salary. Super excited for what this could mean for myself, my future, and realized shortly after that the grass was in fact not greener, and that I was already in the best position I could have been in with the previous role that I had left. And the reason why I say grass wasn't greener is because while the money was great and it came in just the right timing, I ended up totaling my car, needed to get a new one. That additional money helped me to be able to get qualified and afford the more expensive car payment. But when it came down to it, I had to share with my boss one day that I was going to have bilateral hip surgery. My current commute to my territory for where I was selling was about an hour and a half from where I lived. And so not being able to drive to make that commute for about 12 weeks, I was told was not an issue. And then 2 days before my surgery, I was let go. And so I didn't have FMLA, I didn't have any sort of severance package or anything like that. It really and truly was a good luck to you. And it was too late for me to do anything other than figure out what I could do, even while I was recovering from surgery, to make ends meet and to still cover my financial responsibilities. And so I had a conversation with my mom and shared with her what was going on, of course, through a lot of emotion, not really sure what I would do. And she told me about an opportunity to teach online English to students in other countries, specifically China. And so I jumped at the opportunity, got started as quickly as possible, was very fortunate to be brought on as soon as 48 hours after I interviewed. And that made the difference. That made ends meet. And I fell in love with it. I really, really enjoyed the impact that I knew I was having the students that I saw on a regular basis, seeing the growth. And that's why, for those of you that aren't familiar with the part of the story that involves me not teaching anymore, oh, to make a long story short, basically about 2 years into my teaching, regulations in China were changed by the president, Xi Jinping, and he wanted to ban all foreign instruction from other teachers in other countries, specifically in China, for students under the age of 18. So really all of the students that we were working with were soon to be told that they could not take classes with us in the summer. At the time, it was towards the tail end of summer, so I thought, okay, it's August, they'll start back up in September, it'll be fine. And then over the course of the next week or so, people started to talk and articles were shared, and we started to really peel back the layers of what was truly going on. And we realized, we being myself and the other teachers that I was communicating with, that it was just a matter of time before we all lost our jobs. And I had just moved into a new apartment that was more expensive than what I was anticipating. I was in the process of getting things set up. I had just financed furniture for my place, and I'm still in the process of paying off debt. And I just, something had to give. And so one morning I woke up and my gut was saying, just put yourself out there. You need to start planting some seeds, because there's a real chance that you could wake up tomorrow and your schedule will be wiped. There's no one you can call for help. There's no sort of, you know, again, severance package that you're going to get. It will truly be you just figuring it out. And so I decided that I was going to put a post on LinkedIn. And I had always thought about the company that I worked for before. At the time, I was at the height of my stimulant addiction, at the height of my opioid addiction. I was in a toxic relationship, and so much of the time and effort that I should have been channeling in the direction of that role at the time, I was instead putting in the direction of my relationship, because to me, that was forever. And I couldn't have lived with myself if I didn't feel like I was making the effort to make something work that was right in front of me versus a job. It was the convoluted thought process of love conquers all and not really seeing the situation for what it was. And so I knew that I had not maximized that opportunity to make what I could have, to set myself up for success, to have financial stability. And so I thought about it a lot. And so that was the exact role that I had in the back of my mind when I posted on LinkedIn and I said, hey, I've connected with a couple of recruiters, which was true. And a lot of them just responded back, you know, we'll let you know when something opens up, or would say something that was not in line with what I was actually wanting career-wise. And so I put it out there. I said, here's my professional experience. I'm in the market for new roles. If you know someone, if you are someone, please reach out, connect me, whatever that means, in terms of getting the ball rolling with this. And that evening, I received a call from one of my coworkers, my previous coworkers, when I had worked for that exact company, the one that I had been thinking about a lot. And he said, would you ever come back to, you know, the company? Here's what's changed. Here's the opportunity that's presenting itself. Can I connect you with the manager in, you know, the city that you live in? Because in the time since, I had moved away. I said, yes, absolutely. And, you know, a couple of days later, I had a call with the manager. And then within a matter of a week, I had found out that the teaching job was really no more when it came to students. They were going to a completely adult client base, I should say, or student base. It was only going to be adult learners. And so basically I had no job anymore. And then I had gotten an offer letter from the company I used to work for. And it was such a full circle moment, because I thought, here I am, I've had 4 days off in the past 2 years, not including holidays. I have paid my bills with credit cards. I'm in so much debt. I had to take out my first student loan. I don't know how I'll pay it back. I'm looking around this place that I've completely fallen in love with and the way that I've decorated it, and it's starting to come together and I can't afford any of it. And now I have a base salary uncapped commission potential, benefits, pay time off, retirement. And I could not even express to you the level of gratitude that I felt, that I feel every single day that I sit down to work. Because the company that I work for, during training that I went through again, they share that they hire one out of every 75 applicants. The fact that I've been seen as someone that can bring value to the company twice means a lot. And so I think that the universe gives us the same opportunity twice because they know that we're not going to do the same thing with it twice. At least it hopes that we're not going to. But of course, as the universe would have it, there has to be a speed bump, of course. And so, you know, when I left the previous, or when the previous company left me, I should say, you know, the one that kind of screwed me over right before my surgery, and I thought grass was greener, and I had, you know, changed my life to match this new income that I was going to be making, and it all seemed to make sense. And then whenever I lost that job and was making a third of what I was a year, none of it made sense. How am I going to pay for this stuff? How am I ever going to not be in debt or living paycheck to paycheck? And so, of course, whenever we've now, it's kind of like a wheel, right? Like it just keeps spinning. And then sooner or later, it comes to a good part and a challenging part and a not so great part. And then it's good. So, of course, we're nearing that point of like, okay, so guys, I'm doing well. I feel that I'm doing really well in this role. I'm hitting my numbers. I'm making commission money. And then my dog gets sick. She's got stuff going on, $1,100 in 2 weeks, and it's just the commission is just dwindling. But I have the money. I'm not incurring more debt. I'm not stressing myself out because of it. This is why I wanted to make this money, is so I could have things happen and know that I'm okay, know that I'm taken care of, know that I have the means to provide. And beyond that, for the first time, actually having the additional income to help other people. It sounds like a lie when I say it because I think there's so many disingenuous people in this world, but I mean it. There are truly people in this world that want to, of course they want to be financially stable. Of course they want to have a house or somewhere to call home and something that's theirs that they can do with whatever they want. Of course, that's a part of my goals and dreams. But more than that, it's being able to hand a 20 to the homeless person on the corner of the street. It's being able to put together, adopt a family Christmas gifts and give somebody else a holiday. It's, you know, the ability to just be able to donate without any recognition whatsoever. And not stressing about it. And so that's the big thing, is that there are going to be stressful points in all of our lives. And so it started to make me think, and because I started to go back and think about other people, have conversations with other friends, and them sharing things about where they're at financially. Maybe they own a business, maybe they have a house, maybe they are renting out a second property that they own. There's so many different places on the spectrum of life that people that I know are at, that there came a point where I had to ask myself, is no one experiencing this? Is no one in debt? Is no one? And that's not it. No one's talking about it. And that's the thing about social media. And I had a moment the other day whenever I went on. So I had bought this outfit, I was trying it on, and I was looking at the picture because I had like some straps and things and I wanted to put it on. I just had the picture pulled up, making sure that I had it correctly, and I put it on and I looked in the mirror, and for the first time in my life, I had a picture of the girl that was wearing it in front of me at the exact same time I had me in front of the mirror. And I broke down. I was so embarrassed. I was ashamed. I thought, who am I to wear this? This does not look like it does on her. And it was so unlike me. It was terrifying. Because I, for the past year, have had so much confidence in who I am, as I am, the way that I look, the way that I act, the way that I carry myself, the interactions I have with people, I have found confidence in because it's become intentional. I'm intentional about the way that I dress, the way that I treat people, the words that I allow to come out of my mouth. I'm very thoughtful and self-aware. And so the fact that all of that had been abandoned in a single moment, strictly because I had someone else that I had given myself the opportunity to compare myself to, it changed everything. It changed how excited I was about the outfit. It changed the way I felt when I looked at myself in it. And I realized in that moment just how dangerous the rose-colored glasses that people allow their social media to be shown through really are. Because when we look at people's lives, we're not seeing it for what it really is. We're seeing what they want to show. And guys, this is something that we've all heard time and time again. It's no surprise that people are posting what they want you to see. Why would they post anything else? That's why a lot of people appreciate whenever there are those that show the dark parts, the twisted parts, the scary parts, the things that remind us that we're all human. That's not a normal thing. The influencer, the Photoshop, the edited pictures, the decision to avoid talking about all of the things that bring us together is exactly what is compromising so many people's well-beings in society. And here's the thing. When I was in college, I took a moral ethics and conflicts class. Yes, it was as entertaining as you would think. And it was online, which honestly, I feel like was the best and safest place for this class to be. Not that it was intentionally only available online. It just so happened to be the case this semester. And what I think it did was allowed people to freely share their thoughts as they truly exist without having to look someone in the eye, worrying about the judgment, seeing what they look like, making assumptions. I mean, just doing what human beings do, because we're not always great. And so I took a class, this class, and one of the things that we had to write about was we had to choose a series of topics of pretty controversial subject matter. So the one that I chose in particular was performance-enhancing drugs. Should they be allowed to exist in terms of professional sports and the Olympics and these sporting events that really do attract a lot of attention? And I said no, that they should not be allowed, because you are setting an unrealistic, not even expectation, but feasibility in a certain level of performance that even you couldn't reach on your own. There are children and kids and individuals at very influential stages of their lives that see someone running a certain distance, scoring a certain amount of goals, touchdowns, that see them lifting a certain amount of weight, and they truly believe that it's possible at that age, at that size, at that weight to do it, and it might not be possible. So one of two things are going to happen. Either A, that child is going to think they are severely inadequate, they can never do what you do, they're just not cut out for their dreams entirely, because that's how children think. Or B, they're going to get involved and then put the pieces together and realize that they have been looking up to a phony this entire time. And so I wrote this paper and I wanted people to truly understand that there's a lot of danger in the impact of dishonest portrayal of life. When you constantly have these people that show you these really glamorous parts of their lives, their put together homes, their restful night's sleep, and they wake up in the morning and everything is just great all the time. When you have that as a normal thing, and then beyond that, you have the people that talk about their struggles, but then talk about how great their life is now, as a way of inspiring without really realizing that there's a couple of details that are really important. What are you struggling with now? There's always something in our lives that's a source of stress or that could use some support. There's always something. And instead, it becomes a moment of resilience, which I think is great. I think it's important to recognize how far you've come. And I think it's also worth sharing the stories of how that all came to be. But if I was to sit here and listen to someone talk about, you know, in my 20s, I was in this amount of debt and you know, I worked hard and then I got myself out and now look at me, I've got a house, I've got, you know, a dog, I've got, you know, this nice car, I've got money in the bank, I've got a retirement, but I've got all these things and they skipped all of the steps along the way. So now what are you stressed out about? What is it now that you wish that you would have known? And it's important, I think, to continue that conversation and to normalize the continuation of that conversation. And to be honest, social media is not even the place that I think that we should be going. I think the place we should be going is either amongst ourselves in person, or I think it's that we should be looking intentionally for the videos that do not shy away from the truth. It's the reason why I appreciate channels on YouTube like The Impact Theory so much, is because it's people that, yes, some of them have been dealt different hands than us, and some of them have very unrelatable parts of their stories. However, there are some that are very relatable, and those are the ones that I think are important to seek out, because I found myself last week searching what the most common sources of stress for someone my age are. And it's because no one is talking about it. No one is talking about how much it sucks to not know where you should be, quote unquote. And comedians will joke around about it and they'll say, you know, no one expects anything from you in your 20s because this is the decade of quote unquote figuring it out. But then you've got the other people that say, you've been out of college for this long, or you've been working this long, or you've got this, like, why are you not here instead of where you are? And so no matter what you do and where you're at and how many people expect nothing from you, there will always be people that feel differently. And so, guys, the whole point of this particular episode is to just let you know that talking about the things you're struggling with is, A, it's not complaining. It's important to communicate those. But also it's important to know that you're not alone, that there are other people that have this similar struggle, that do understand that not knowing where the end of a source of stress is stressful in and of itself. So guys, today I ask of you to be aware of the stress, but to understand that it's temporary, and to also understand that every problem has a solution to some capacity, and it's not always meant to be found immediately. But all you've got to do is the best that you can today. And then when you wake up tomorrow, all you have to do is the best that you can today. And just keep reminding yourself of that. And as long as you're doing the best that you can, sooner or later, you've been your best self for days, weeks, months, years. And that is the best way to ensure that you always remain where you're supposed to be. And so I have one request before I go. And this can be anonymous, it can be from you, it does not matter. This is a safe space no matter what. I want you to write in to anonymousaffirmationsforyou@gmail.com, all spelled out, anonymousaffirmationsforyou@gmail.com, your age and what you're struggling with. What is your biggest challenge or a couple of your greatest challenges at this very moment in your life and your age? Gender is not important as far as I'm concerned. The biggest thing, though, is understanding that there's something that we're all struggling with. And I think there will be something so beautiful about being able to put together an episode specifically for you all that speaks to all of those and lets you know that you're not alone and that we're all somewhere on this playing field just trying to win the game. And I think that will be very impactful and honestly is something that I need as well. And so anonymous affirmations for you at gmail.com. Send your age, something you're struggling with, whatever you want to that Gmail. I look forward to hearing from you all. Thank you guys so much for listening and have a wonderful day.